This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
It reminds me of your maktaba you used to have in Medina.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, everyone. We'll probably just be waiting for 30, 40 seconds for people to join in. And as the people join in, inshallah, I'll just do a bit of introduction. So, in Alhamdulillah, nasta'inuhu wa nasta'firuh, wa na'uzu billahi min shururi anfusina, wa min sayyati amalina. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له واشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله. Okay, جزاكم الله خير, everyone, for joining in, and absolutely honored to have all the guests today, and some of the guests on a very, very short notice. So جزاكم الله خير, Sheikh Ala, Sheikh Kamil, and obviously Sheikh Abdul Rahim for joining in. Now, basically, I'll just set the stage a little bit because, you know, some of the audience might not have listened to our previous discussion, which happened last week, which was basically a female panel, which was done by Ustaza Taimia Zubair and Sheikha Aisha Wazwaz. Now, that particular session, we really focused towards providing advice to the sisters, to the wives to be, and alhamdulillah, you know, it was a brilliant session. In fact, I would suggest that any of the people who are joining in today, if you have not listened to that session, then please do so. That is number one. The second thing is that today, inshallah, our philosophy has been that we have not been giving any cross gender advice. Okay. So what we are trying to do is that we are trying to advise sisters from the women scholars and the brothers from the male scholars. This is how we are trying to, inshallah, do it. So no one can say that we are patriarchal or, you know, whatever the case may be. So now, inshallah, this is the scene, inshallah. Obviously, none of the shuyukh require any introduction, so I'm not going to be going into any kind of introductions. I'll be starting with, inshallah, Sheikh Ala being the senior most here. And as Sheikh Abdul Rahim mentioned, that basically, you know, we are free to bounce off. This is a discussion. Obviously, I'll interject wherever required, but just consider I am not non-existent. Okay. I'll just come with my questions, and obviously the show is going to be open for all the questions. It's going to be taking slightly, you know, more than an hour. Obviously, Sheikh Ala has to leave right at the end of the hour. If Sheikh Abdul Rahim or Sheikh Kamil, if you are also not able to join in after an hour, then, you know, please let us know. Otherwise, we might stretch it to 1.5 hours. So this is the scene, inshallah. So I'll be starting with Sheikh Ala, like I said. Now, and I'll be starting with that in the context of the primary responsibilities of husbands, because this is a topic of marital discord. So the scenario is that there is some kind of a discord which probably is going to be taking place in all marriages as it happens. So what is the primary responsibility of your husband in a summarized fashion, if you can please guide us on that?
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi. First of all, most for having me. May Allah bless you all for your time and effort. It's a noble cause. Alhamdulillah, this is something that we definitely need of. And I've been teaching this for about 30 years, either teaching courses or doing weddings or counseling. And most of people really take a lot of things for granted. So communication is a key. And one of the things that most of the other thing that if I put the roof over their head, put on the table, clothes on their back, I'm done. There's a lot more than that. That's just one aspect of your financial responsibility. So if you think that, you know what, I'm the breadwinner, and that's basically what one of the secrets, obviously, that the 20 secrets between the two of them, one of them is that. She eats from what you eat. She dresses like the way you dress. So she lives where you live. For example, you cannot just eat surf and turf and give her crackers and cheese. You cannot wear or dress like Gianni Versace, Giorgio Armani, and you give her clothes from Kmart or Walmart. I don't know where it is in the world. I'm not sure where. What do you call it, Shikna, in the UK? Something like that.
In Turkey now, I think.
Yeah, what is it?
I'm in Turkey these days.
Yeah.
I think more international. I mean, it's not international, but people know what it is there. Cheap clothes.
Fair enough. And you cannot live in a palace and she lives in a garage. So that's basically the minimum requirement of the financial aspect only. But there's just so many of them. Again, this course takes 2 full days to explain. But there are obviously the responsibility. I tell the brothers, the first responsibility for you, akhi, is the ayah. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara wa quduha an-nas wal hijara. That's number one on this course, leave Allah's lift. And listen, it's not just the financial aspect of it and so on and so forth. But the ayah states, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, which starts with, O you who believe, it's conditional. Allah did not say, Ya ayyuha alladhina aslamu, nor did he say, Ya ayyuha an-nas. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anh says, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with, O you who believe, he didn't say, O Muslims, he didn't say, O humankind, O human beings, O mankind, it's conditional upon your belief. So you'll say, Sami'na wa ta'na, we listen and obey, not Sami'na wa asayna. Quarrel, convince me, what's the logic, not yet, make dua for me, and all of that stuff that we hear. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts with that, it's conditional. So it says, Abdullah says, فَبَدَى اللَّهُ الْآيَةَ بِيَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ أَمَنُوا كَانَ أَمْرُ يُؤْمَرْ بِهِ أَوْ نَهْيُنَا عَنْهُ, which means, if Allah said the ayah with, O you who believe, it will be a command that will be followed to be ordained upon us, or prohibition to be followed that will be forbidden upon us. So he says, قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ قُوْ الْوِقَايَةَ. It was mentioned over 200 times in the Quran to protect yourself, obviously from the hellfire and the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa jalla jalla. أَنفُسَكُمْ first, that means your leadership, and that's your that's the priority that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, and the responsibility has given you of that. What is the not inferiority, superiority complex? And this is exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, the qawama to be. The qawama is that you're responsible for the sister to take her away from the hellfire and to go to Jannah, the paradise with you. Qu anfusakum wa ahlikum. The ahl is known in the Quran. And Abu Qaisara bi ahlihi, when Musa alayhi salam with his wife, and Ibrahim alayhi salam with his wife, and so on. So the scholars say ahl, in linguistics, they mean family in general, specific in the wife, and so on. So if you really want to know your first responsibility, my brother, is to make sure that you protect that sister from the hellfire. You take her with you to Jannah. It's not what most of the brother thinks. You know what? I'm the man. Who the man? I'm the man. I you know what? She drives Lexus. She wears fur coat. She's got the bling bling. Dude, I'm the man. Who the man? La, la, la. You're a male. You're a male. At this point, you're a male. You're not a man. A man is the one that actually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says fiha rijal. Allah did not say fiha dhukur. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said when he mentioned the Quran, those who come to the masajid, those who make sure that they do with the Quran and Sunnah, Allah said, call them rijal. Rijal is ahadullah. This is they hold on to the covenant of Allah subhanahu wa jalla ta'ala. So this is obviously one aspect of it. The other aspect is wa'ashiruhunna bil ma'roof. You know you've taken an oath. And I'll finish with the oath because it's a very long topic. I want to also get the mashayikh to get their in on it. Most of the brothers will take the oath, for example. Like, for example, 2 o'clock, I have a wedding. And I usually say the same thing over and over. I tell the brothers, do you know, akhi, what you're about to do in marriage? I used to ask, but it was embarrassing because not one single brother knew what I was talking about. So I stopped asking. I just now just share and teach. So do you know what you're about to take? You know what you're doing? They take anyway, it doesn't work. So I said, listen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this set right here when you're getting married in the Quran. He made sure that men never take this for granted. He says, wa akhadna minkum mithaqan ghaleeza. She has taken a stringent oath from you. Akhadna here at Noon and Niswa, not Tashdeed. Noon and Niswa is not Tawkeel here. Noon, it's the feminine tense. That means your wife. Minkum, meaning you. Mithaq. Mithaq is the pledge or an oath or whatever it is that you have to you hold on to when you put your hand in her father's hand or you accept al-'ard al-qabul. This is the strongest oath you will ever take. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ghalidha. Ghalidha is not just an oath. And Allah uses that word, mithaq, between him and the messengers and prophets. But he says, ghalidha li'annaka tara minha al-'awra al-mughalladha, because you see something that nobody else sees. So he says, وَأَخَذْنَا مِنْكُمْ مِثَاقًا غَلِيظًا. She has taken, my brother, your wife has taken the strongest oath you will ever take. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the حقوق, the rights, the best, the strongest حقوق, مَا اسْتَحْلَلْتُمْ بِهِ الْحُرُوجِ. What you have committed to make whatever was unlawful in the private part, your chastity, your aim to become lawful, meaning the marriage contract. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated that mithaq right in the Quran. That means, my brother, Allah subhanahu wa jalla fila, over 1400 years ago, asked Jibreel alayhi salam to descend down from the seventh heaven to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to tell him to write this ayah in the Quran, tutla ila yawm al-qiyamah, recite the judgment day. And you will be held accountable for it on judgment day. And I'll give you the proof, inshallah. But let me give you first the ayah. According to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, it says, wa'ashiruhunna bil ma'roof, deal with them in righteousness and what is known to be good. But according to Jumhur, the majority of the scholars says, "Imsakun ma'roof aw tasrihun bi ihsan." Hold on to her in the best way possible. And if things don't work out, may Allah protect you from that. Even if she's bad to you, you're still going to have to be good to her. According to the ayah, ihsan. And the definition, the mashayikh know, ihsan is not the istilah in this case. And ta'budullah kannaka tarah in the hadith. But ihsan, the scholars say, al-ihsan laysa al-ihsana an tuhsan min ahsan ilayk, walakin al-ihsana an tuhsan min asa ilayk. Which means ihsan being the excellence matter in the behavior towards your wife, you're being good to, they're good to you? No, that's normal. That's expected. But ihsan is being good to those who are bad to you. And that's exactly what Allah says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ. Be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa jalla fila, that you will be held accountable for on judgment day. Arham is plural. The wombs, meaning the wombs of her family will come together with the wombs of your family on this day, but you will be held accountable for it on judgment day. Again, it's a very long topic, but I'd like to hear the input of the Mashaykh, and of course we'll learn from them, inshallah. Allah. Allah. Allah.
Sheikh, would like to add?
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulullah. I think, you know, what Sheikh Ala said, that's the main thing that we need to focus on. And perhaps, you know, obviously when we talk about what are their rights, we automatically go to the issue of the financial rights. You know, so she has right upon me for me to feed her, to clothe her, that she lives in. But the accommodation, but we don't focus on the most important rights, which he said is that we take them to Jannah. Also, another very important right, I mean, I think most of us know the financial aspect of it, so we're not going to go into much detail. Like we said, if we're going to go into detail, we can stay on just on this first question and not go in. So I don't want to really, you know, go too much out on that. But if you look, for example, the other issue is the issue of and how you treat your wife, and you know, and making sure that you give them their haq when it comes to the emotional side and listening to them. Even when you look at the example of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, understand the nature of women. I mean, that's very important. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to dislike staying awake late at night. He had the night prayer to have to pray half the night or a bit less or a bit more. So he had a duty, a wazifa behind him. But yet, and Aisha radiallahu anha, she said that, you know, he would stay awake late into night listening to her as she comes and she talks to him. That's the nature of the woman. She likes to talk to her husband. So that's her right upon him. So understanding her nature, treating her fair, treating her good, treating her kindly, that's also her rights upon you. And I believe a lot of the questions are going to come around the opposite issue of the time, because this is a big problem that we have in the ummah, is that sometimes as the husbands, we see that as long as we're feeding them, as long as we're clothing them, she has her house, then khalas, the rest is done. The kids are on her, the household chores are on her, everything is on her, and we're just kind of sitting back and chilling, think we fulfilled our duty. Even when it comes to the children as well, and they're studying, they're eating, you know, they have their clothes, their accommodation, then khalas, we've done our job. Whereas the tarbiyah and what's our duties as parents is actually much greater than that. So I mean, I think those are the key things that really need to focus on. If Sheikh Kam wants to add anything to that quickly before I think we move on, inshallah.
Sheikh.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulullah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in, amma ba'd. I don't know if I have anything to add, as both Sheikh Ala and Sheikh Abdurrahim are much, much more senior to me, and what they've mentioned, I think, is pretty much suffices on this particular issue of the rights or the responsibilities of the husband. We have the maddi responsibility, the material and financial responsibility, and what's more important than that, the dini responsibility, and that is to make sure that the wife is getting what she needs that will help her to reach Jannah with you.
Yeah. Jazakumullah khair, Sheikh. Sheikh McCarthy, now the second question is, now basically with regards to this obligation, which is an abandoned sunnah, as we all know, which is actually, and we as brothers, you know, and this is the male panel, this is the brothers panel, this is the shuyukh panel. Now the question is:
are we allowing the sisters to enter, or is it a man only thing? So we can
anyone can enter. Actually,
no, I'm joking.
This is a male bashing session. You know,
no sisters allowed. Huh? Brothers only. Yeah.
Now the question is that are we supposed to be helping our sisters, our wives, in the household? Of course, should we be doing that?
Yeah, obviously we know it's from the Sunnah of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When we look into the hadith and how beautiful the hadith was, when Aisha radiallahu anha, she described how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, and he kana fi khidmati ahlihi, that he was in the service of his wife, Allahu Akbar. And he would help out around the house, he would milk his own sheep, he would even sew his own clothes and take care of himself. And he was very normal, like anyone else, as she described him, radiallahu anha, and alayhi salatu wasalam. But then she said, when it came time for the salat, now the wazifa, the haqq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has come, she said, it would be as if he didn't know us. And he helped around the house, and he has free time. Obviously, he's not taking care of this or attending this for the ummah. He has free time here, he's helping out his family. But as soon as the adhan is called, that's the nida', that's the call to the prayer. Now that becomes my wazifa, it becomes my duty after that. And he would go directly to the prayer, alayhi salatu wasalam. So creating that balance between where we fulfill our duties and then helping our family, this is part of being like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And many of us, we want to implement the sunnah in many aspects of our life. When it comes to these sunnahs, we kind of want to, min ma yutwa wa la yurwa, as they say, from the sunnahs that you don't talk about too much, that you don't relay. But subhanAllah, I'm going to tell you from the tarbiyah side and from, you know, building the family, and the impact I've seen in my own house, and I know many other brothers have told me the same thing. When you implement the sunnah, the impact it has. Because even though, and if you have where you're the, you know, the bread maker and she's the house maker, and you have that agreement amongst yourself. So she's doing her wazifa, her duty in the house, you're doing your duty outside. But when you step in to help out, and you'll see the impact it has, you understand why the Prophet ﷺ, and he taught us this sunnah. And he said, yani khayrukum khayrukum li ahli, the best of you are the best to their family. SubhanAllah. And sometimes, for example, my wife, you know, maybe she's tired with the kids at night and she forgets, for example, to do the dishes. And from you know, my way, alhamdulillah, I don't sleep after Fajr. I'm awake, alhamdulillah. So after I finish my session with the Quran, I go in the kitchen. I see sometimes maybe the dishes are there. So I can, alhamdulillah, I can wash the dishes for her and put them. Or even, you know, if we have the dishwasher, using the dishwasher. I mean, you straighten up the kitchen for her. When she comes in, she sees it, the impact that it has on her and how happy it makes her. And that shows her that, you know, you're there, you're supporting, you know, it really is a team effort. Because we always talk about team, team, team. And then you disappear when it comes for your role to step up. But when it's part her time to be part of the team, that you expect her to be there. So that's when you have that balance. But it's very important as well that, you know, each one knows. I mean, and there's another important thing, a point I want to point out, is that sometimes in the days that we live in, where both husband and wife work, and this is a question that comes a lot of the times by the sisters, I'm working just like he's working. I'm working 8 hours a day, you know, going takes me an hour to get to work, takes me an hour to get home, 10 hours. She has the kids and this. And then he still expects her to do all of the household duties, and he doesn't want to implement this sunnah. So here it's different. If you both are working, your responsibility in the house is actually going to become more now, because it's not the same where she's free in the house, you know, just for that, because she's also, and sometimes she might be paying some of the rent, paying some of the bills, she's pitching in. So now you have to look at the outlook many of the brothers have, that, you know, khalas, she has to do everything in the house. It's not from the sunnah anyways, but especially in this scenario where she's out working, just like you're working, then here, you're going to have to do a bit more around the house, and Allah knows best.
Naam. Sheikh Allah, now, obviously, yani continuing on the same kind of topic. Now, in the West, obviously, this scenario of both husband and wife working is a lot more than how we would have in, let's say, in the Muslim countries or in the kind of the third world countries, per se. Now,
developing world.
Huh? Now you can say, yeah. So do you think that this is a question? Because, you know, from a Muslim country perspective, I to be honest with you, I haven't seen a single household as of now where I've seen the husband, yani, helping the wife in the household. Of course, I haven't. If brother Kamil has, or if anyone else has, then please let me know. But I haven't so far. So, yani, why is this? Is this a cultural thing? Yani, why is this so?
Indeed, it is culture, because unfortunately, an illness that you know, some of us have is that the back home syndrome, right? You know, it's not necessarily the new generation, because they say home is where they're born, either UK, Canada, or whatever they are in the world. So don't say back home. We still say back home because we're born and raised somewhere else. So this generation, unfortunately, has a little bit of a question mark and aspect on it, because they're still thinking back home. They're still thinking the cultural issue. So they bring the baggage with them. So when we say that you, my brother, when you first started with your wife, the sunnah is to say Allahu Akbar, to pray two rak'at with her. You're declaring in the beginning of your life that the creator is greater than the creation and the religion is greater than tradition. So live accordingly. So we said, like the Shaykh Hafidhahullah Abdul Rahim, he says, كَانَ فِي مِهْنَةِ أَهْلِي وَخِدْمَةِ أَهْلِي. You know, he used to help in the house chores. And so he's the best of creation. If you're a better man, by all means, feel free. But there's no one that's better creation than Allah, that Allah created, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we have to actually recognize that fact. Because Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi'ala says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٍ حَسَنَةٍ. He's your role model. It says, Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi'ala says, مَوَدَّ وَرَحْمَةٍ, the foundation of marriage. وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّ وَرَحْمَةٍ. مَوَدَّ didn't say mahabba, it says مَوَدَّ. مَوَدَّ is the act of gentle compassion, of forbearing love. It's the source of love. And this is rahma, mercy. Now what is that? وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. So the mercy Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent for us is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says, he's your uswa, he's your role model. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِ يُحْبَبُكُمُ اللَّهِ. قُلْ تَلْقِينِ إِن مَشْرُوطَ conditional. جواب الشرط فَاتَّبِعُونِ فَاَتْ تَعْقِيب. يَا الدَّمِير goes to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which means what? He says, if you declare, if you claim that you love me, what's the answer for that? He says, right away, haste by following Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you want, if you claim that you love me, that's how I'm going to love you, if you follow him. So we tell the brothers to do four things at least. Same exactly what the Shaykh said. He says, help in the house chores. We're not asking the brothers to quit their job and go ahead and ask serve at home. We're simply asking the brothers, if you see your wife doing anything, you simply ask her, do you need help with this, honey? That's really that simple. Number two is take the high ride. Take the high road, meaning if she's in the hole, don't bury her. Extend the helping hand to lift her out of the hole, like Prophet Muhammad do. And you know what? Don't stop dating your wife. That's what I tell the brothers all the time. You know, usually when the brothers get married, they start working out. You know, doing the push-ups and on their lifting and, oh my God, like, where is the beach and all of that? Yeah, gotcha. And after this, they take showers, they smell good, they dress well, they give them flowers, chocolate, poetry. After they get married, khalas. The young girl comes out receiving a line, garlic, onions, Allah help us, wallahi. And you're my man. Yeah, you know, it smells like one, dude. Okay, so what happens? The ayah is that Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, he used to beautify himself to his wife. He said, I will not listen to you to give me good proof in the Quran. So وَلَهُنَّ مِثْلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ يَا أَخِي. So whatever you ask of them, give them. Before you take, you give. And you lead by example, or that you follow. And give her a nickname, at least. يعني. You know, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to, in Sahih, she's kind of عَائِش, but حُمَيْرَا ضَعِف. He used to give her a nickname, radiallahu anhu. So you can call your wife Mimi, Tutu, Lulu, Fifi, Susu, whatever you want to call her, dude. But just give her something. Okay, so the idea behind it is the urf here. If you want to take with the urf. Because the scholars differ. Is it obligation upon a woman to actually serve? The jumhur, the majority of scholars say no. It's not an obligation. So we call it fadl, not fard. It's a benevolence. It's an act of goodness. Not an obligation upon her. So the Islam leaves it like for Dubai, for example. Like I know that sisters are not going to do this job. They hire things to do it. But we're poor people, like for me, where I we have an unwritten rule that, you know what, I do the outside, you do the inside. However, if the sister now, they both work, some of the scholars says they have to now make a deal. Listen, if we agreed our tradition, our in the mubah, in the zone, because Islam takes the urf, ما لم يخالف نص صريح أو حديث صريح. We accept it as long as it does not contradict a clear ayah and then hadith that is authentic. So if that's now mubah, now in the permission. If the mubah is known that you do inside, I'll do the outside, but you're going outside now, but she's helping. And she gets double the reward of helping you financially, not an obligation, but it's a sadaqah, double the reward according to hadith. Now, what happens is if you're now doing as we agreed upon, some of the scholars says, okay, well, there's now she's responsible to get somebody to do the house chores from her own salary to be able to compensate for that. That's some of the opinions, not all. But now if we're both working, and that some of the people that will not be able to make ends meet, now you have to help also in the akhi. If you, she's helping the outside, you also have to help inside. So it's the shower. It's you know, you're consulting with one another. You're working on the same team. I want to make sure that you understand, brothers. There's no I in a relationship anymore. There's no me. There's no myself. There's us, we, and ours from now on. So you're on the same team. And that's one way to address it, that you're doing this not to get the brownie points. I'm doing it to follow the footsteps of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because I want to be with him in Jannah. Again, hopefully,
But the brownie points are good too, man. Alhamdulillah.
Allahu Akbar.
Sheikh Kamil, now coming to you, and it's a tough question, but I'm going to be asking you now. So now the thing is that brothers think that it is only the wife's responsibility to profess love. And, you know, normally people say that the husbands need respect and the wives need love. And if you kind of reverse it, they say that, you know, if it's okay not to be respecting your wife per se, and it's okay as well if, yani, you're not professing your love for your wife. So how do you actually kind of make sense out of this kind of a scenario?
I think once again, by looking at you know, how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam treated his wives, and you find that it was you know, mutual. It wasn't, you know, one-sided, you know, whether it be respect or love, but rather you find it was mutual, and that's what the ayah you know, attests to as well. وَجَعَلْنَا بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. We made between you, not that, you know, love is being shown from one side and not the other. And so this is more of a cultural thing, I'm sure. As you know, like many cultures, they have this understanding that, you know, the love comes from one side and the respect comes from the other. And so it needs to be mutual. And it's based on that mutual love and respect that a relationship continues. And so many times when we find marital disputes and discords, it's because of, you know, that balance not being there. You know, expecting more from one side and, you know, not having that balance there.
Naam. Sheikh Abdurrahim, this respect and love equation.
I think it's very important. We understand, as I mentioned earlier, the nature of women. And, you know, a woman doesn't just want love, she wants respect. She wants both of them as well. And she wants to give you love, but she also wants to receive love. And, you know, through my experience, and that Sheikh Allah, he has more experience than us, inshallah, he can add some things and let us benefit. But what I, you know, understand, and I've actually talked, you know, to my family, I've talked to other sisters, we have a course we give about, you know establishing the Muslim family. And, you know, the things that, you know, sisters really are looking for is five main things. And if a brother understands these and focuses on giving them, his wife is going to be, inshallah, the happiest woman in the world. And if she's the happiest woman in the world, inshallah, you're going to be the happiest man in the world. Alhamdulillah. So we want to go back to the brownie points and go back into getting the ajr from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah putting that barakah. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned and putting the mudda and the rahmah, you know, this type of love and mercy in the household. And what did he say? That litaskunu ilayha, that you find that tranquility in your wife. She finds it in you. You find it in her. And the antum libasun lahunno, that you are a garment for them and they're a garment for you. It's a mutual thing, as Allah said very clear in the ayah. So it's a mutual thing for both of them. It has to be from both sides. And even in the ayah we mentioned, so it's a room, ja'ala baynakum, Allah put it between you. It's between, so it's not just a one side thing. But these five things that I think have a huge impact on your wife, inshallah. First of all, respect, and then love, and then affection. And the affection is perhaps a bit deeper than love. Love is the general, you know, the general thing. But that affection, showing that affection to her, and then the attention. Women love attention. And even that, we sit down with some of our sisters and we advise them, you know, the ones who do tabarruj, the one who put on makeup, the ones who put on perfume. Anytime we've asked them, sister, why do you do this? I mean, talking about good sisters who have a good deen, but in this aspect, they're weak. All of them are looking for attention, whether it's a Muslim woman, non-Muslim woman. They do these type of things to get attention from men. So if a woman's in her household and she's not getting attention from her own husband, then she's going to look for attention elsewhere. And this is where many problems are. So she needs to get the attention. You compliment her. You tell her how she's looking good. Her dress looks nice. But it's just like you walk past her like she's not even there. She dresses up for you. And sisters have told us, wallahi, they dress up for their husband. And her husband comes in the house, And it's like he, subhanAllah, like she hasn't done anything. She's, I get dressed up for him, I put makeup on, and he doesn't even make any comment. Doesn't compliment me. So women love attention. And the last part is the intimacy, that you know that you are perform well in that aspect. If you're fulfilling those roles as a man, with your woman, inshallah, she's going to be like we said, the happiest woman in the world, and make you the happiest man, inshallah. And something very important that Sheikh Alaa mentioned earlier is that sometimes we as men, and we expect this from our sisters or from our wives, but when it comes to us, we don't do the same thing. For example, looking good. When it comes to looking good, like you know, Sheikh Alaa said before the marriage, everybody's in the gym. And I remember we were on a retreat here in Turkey recently, and I was having dinner with my family, and I lost some weight, and much I was working out in the morning with the other speakers, other sheikh there in the gym. So Sheikh Haytham al-Haddad, he walked past, and he said to my wife, he said, "Be careful, sister." He said, "Usually when a brother's, you know, working this hard, his intention is very bad." Huh? So alhamdulillah, this was before this, then later he has what? Instead of, you know, he has the big one pack, the 9 month, you know, he's about to deliver, subhanAllah. But if his wife was good like that, he would be upset and he'd be complaining. He stinks, but he wants her to smell good. Look at the sunnah of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One of the first things he would do when he would enter in the house is he would start with what? With the miswak. And from the hikmah that the scholars mention is that he would smell good when he comes to, you know, to kiss his wife, when he comes to give salams to his wife. It's all from the sunnah, kissing your wife when you enter the house, when you leave the house. And even studies have proven that the relationship lasts longer. And these things are all in the sunnah of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Being a gentleman, you know, like we said, continuing these things with your wife, not just when you get married, but all throughout the marriage, and to keep the marriage. Like, these are things we have, inshallah, to act upon his sunnah. He's our uswa hasana. He's our role model, alayhi salatu wasalam. So we have this lifestyle where we want, and you understand it's a two-way street. Just like the things you want from your wife, she also wants the same thing from you. She wants to look good. And I remember, and I'm talking about like being in shape, because I know a brother, we were doing, and he divorced his wife. So he said she wouldn't lose the weight. I mean, a lot of brothers are the same thing. Brothers complain, "My wife got a bit big." Bro, have you looked at yourself in the mirror? You know what I'm saying? So also, a woman as well, she wants to see her man in shape. And she wants to see a man who looks good. You know, I want to see something beautiful in front of me. So does she. It's the same thing. It's a two-way street. And when you take from these two ayahs that we mentioned, you know, about being libas for one another, and also ja'ala baynakum, Allah put between you. And this is so it's a two-way thing, and that's how the marriage. The Prophet ﷺ, I'm a bit too long on this. He said that the best woman is the one either nadhar ilayha asarratu, that if he looks at her, she makes him happy. And the scholars have mentioned the looks obviously is part of that, but also even the akhlaq as well, the manners. Because when you see a woman who is, you know, she's beautiful, she takes care of herself, you know. And the very important thing, it's not just about the beauty, but someone that takes care of themselves. And we have problems with the sisters, even with the brothers, inside the house. Outside the house, mashallah, tabarakallah. In the house, as the sheikh gave me the description with all of that. And you'll see that in the house, Allah mustan. So the outer appearance, but also the inner appearance has a big impact on it as well. The akhlaq, the taqwa, the iman has an impact as well. But also he said in the hadith, إِذَا نَظَرَتْ إِلَيْهِ أَصَرَّهَا, that if she looks at him, but also that he makes her happy as well. So you see, it's the mutual, you know, give and take. And that's what's going to make a marriage successful, inshallah.
Now, Sheikh Alaa, now coming to you, another issue which has been seen is that men are always complaining that I don't have time to give to the kids, I don't have time to give to my family, to my wife, etc. But what we've also observed, that they have their own kind of secluded area where they're either on their devices, if they are into gaming, they're playing games, or they're doing something else. This is now actually, and this problem has reached epidemic proportions. And we're not talking about kids, we're talking about adult men. So what is your advice, Sheikh?
That's a good question. I understand that this is something that is, it is actually tangible, and you're right. We have to deal with it, and it's not going to go on its own. So I learned this trick from my wife. You know, the mashayikh know that we're always busy, we got a lot of things on our plate and so many things to do, but it's not an excuse. So I usually look at my schedule a day ahead to know what's going on. So on my calendar I saw my wife's name. So I was going, that name looks very familiar. Yeah, it's my wife. So she was trying to give me a hint. Do I have to book myself in order for me to see you? Wallahi, that triggered something, Sheikh. It taught me a lesson in a beautiful way. So I came up with this method. I call it the Myoff theory. M-Y-O-F, Myoff theory. And the M stands for my time. The Y stands for your time. The O stands for our time. The F stands for family time. So I tell the brothers, listen, everybody's busy. I got it. Everybody's busy. But you have to do time management. The four Ds, right? Delegate, delay, delete, right? So it's the big rock theory, right? You know the big rock theory? I mean, again, I used to be in corporate. I used to teach this time management course and all of that stuff. And it's not the time for it now. But at least let's stick with the Maya theory. I'm not going to ask you to go ahead and be your average, perfect husband, whatever. You're a human being. So I'm not going to tell you to do something that is not going to last. Okay? So let's be practical on this advice. So my time, what I mean for that is, you know what? Maybe when you come from work, whatever it is, you need the downtime. Because Ali says, you know, you just can't come up and tell your husband all the problems and all the issues and all the kids. He needs to calm down. And Abu Talha, right? And the hadith is there. When he lost his son and so on, he came from travel. So I advise the brothers and the sisters to come up with the Maya theory and put it on the Google calendar so they know exactly what's going on. So my time, listen, you can negotiate. I have an hour of the day. I can do whatever you like. I can surf. I can chill. I can play games. I can do the Macarena, raise the roof, do the funky chicken. It doesn't matter. It's my time. In return, I now realize that he's been looking over the kids and whatever it is. If the sister's not working, I also need to know on the why. That's your time, honey. I'll look after the kids. You can go ahead, do whatever it is that you want to do. You want to get a facial, pedicure, manicure, massage, shopping, surfing. It doesn't matter. Just chill, do nothing. You can stay away from whatever, anything. And the old time, I tell the brothers, you have to take out your wife at least once a week. Once a week. You have to go on a date. Because here's what happens. We take it for granted. Don't take it for granted. Sheikh Ibrahim alluded to it. Can't take it for granted. Don't ever stop dating your wife. That's what I tell the brothers all the time. Yeah. So at least once a week you go out. Sheikh, I don't have money. It doesn't. Listen, my brother taught me something. It's not the beautiful places that makes the memories. It's the memories that makes places beautiful. You can go on a coffee shop, man. Go on a walk. Dude, they love this stuff. Remember the emotional side, right? And that's among the secrets. They're emotionally based. We're physically based. So if you think about it, you just need to tell her, you know what, that when the Sheikh says, you know, the word that we can't say the word I love you. You know, again, back home luggage. You're a wuss. If you say to your wife, I love you, she's going to ride you. You're not a man. Well, like the best of men says, رُزِقْتُ حُبَّهَا, I was blessed by her love.
Yeah. Allah Akbar. Allah Akbar.
So we have a problem with understanding cultural issues. So we come back to truly know who our role model is and how he dealt with it, how he turned the glass and ate, he placed his lips where her lips were, how he used to chew and give her, how he used to take permission, and on so many things that Prophet Muhammad used to do. And he's the best of role models, Allah Azzallah. So you understand that fact? So that's the old time. And when you go on a date, if you talk about your problems and about your kids, I'm going to smack you upside the head. You need to talk to you. When you go on the date, you talk about, I remember the first time, honey, I seen you when my heart was aching, my knees were shaking. It's true, I ain't faking. You don't eat bacon. And I can do this. So, you know what I mean? You need to talk about, you need to revive this, Habibi. You have to also invest. Remember, the mawadda is in the beginning of the relationship. You need to invest. You're in the lovey-dovey mode, honeymoon. Investing harder in the relationship. Rahma, in the end of the relationship, when you both get on each other's nerves. Yes? So you have to understand, Sheikh, it's a whole art. This, you know, getting married is, I do get a license, you're ready. No, you have to take a course. You have to take a course to drive, to get your driver license. Why don't you take a course to get your marriage license? So thinking about it. So the F time, okay. So family time. Okay. This weekend, honey, we're going to go to your family. Next weekend, we're going to go to my family. Third weekend, we're going to go to immediate family, spending with our own. And the kids have to pick whatever they want. Let's go bowling. Let's do something. So this is how you do it, akhi. So here's my last trick. Once you come home, I want you to put a box next to the door. As soon as you come home, you take out your cell phone. You take all your game, whatever. You take out all your social media stuff, your laptop, everything. You put it in the box. That's it. Because statistics show that a husband, will spend from 20 to 60 minutes a day with their children. Isn't that amazing? And the rest is, what happened, Habibi? No. So you need to take out all these distractions. Work is gone. Khalas. Unless you're a doctor, I understand. But under normal circumstances, you come home, you take out all the stuff. You take this thing here, you put it out. Let everything you put in the box. When you leave the house, you take everything with you outside. When you're inside, you're inside. So remember, the Maya theory, my time, your time, our time, family time. That's one way to do it. Allahu a'lam.
Sheikh Kamil, now coming to you. Now a related problem. Obviously, you know, this is probably not the right forum to be discussing it, but I just want to touch base upon it, because again, this is another one of those serious issues, which is the addiction to porn and men, especially the brothers. This is a pretty serious issue, which probably we are planning to do a separate session. But again, if you can just advise exactly the issues with regards to porn addiction, which a number of brothers have, how to deal with it.
Yeah, it is definitely a big problem that, you know, is increasing, is on the rise, especially with, easy access to it, unlike ever before. And what leads many, many men to that, the statistics also show that, is that what happens is, you know, that the women, they grow in age, they have many children, and they're no longer appealing to the men, and so they start looking elsewhere. And obviously, this is not an excuse, and it's completely unjustifiable. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in a hadith, he said, if you see a woman and you're attracted by her, immediately go to your own wife, because she has what the other woman has as well. And so porn addiction is a major problem, and it definitely needs to be addressed. And I hope you do, address it as, a separate session, all on its own, inshallah.
I think a very important part, I mean, you can't really, it needs a separate session altogether, like you said. This actually is a pandemic. So, in the days of pandemics, this is definitely pandemic, and a scary stat is that when you look at some of the charts, I don't know if any of you have seen these, you know, like the color charts where they show like the 60%, 80%, and the percentage where they watch these the porn sites. Many of the Muslim countries rank in the highest in those stats, even sometimes more than the West. You would think in the West it would be more, but actually in Muslim countries, and sometimes it's even the rates are even higher, unfortunately. So what happens here is that, you know, the marriages are being destroyed by this, because these women, what they don't understand is that a lot of them not real women anyway, operations and this, and that's their job, that's what they're to do. So he's coming out, he's seeing this beautiful woman who's you know fit and trim and has all this plastic surgery everywhere, and then he looks at his wife, and this is what's happening now is he's no longer attracted to her, and the marriage starts to be destroyed. And at the same time, also something that happens is that a person who eventually gets addicted to the porn, is that even that they cannot perform later with a real woman. It's just that fantasy. He has to be in front of the screen in order to get the fantasy. When it comes to even be able to perform with his wife, and this is something, this point here, I focus on a lot with my students, the younger brothers who are like in high school and university students. That look, I know a lot of you guys get involved in that, but you have to realize that sometimes you get so involved is that you come, and we've had problems with this. People come with their wives and they just got married and he has the real thing in front of him, but he can't perform because it's just that fantasy. The real thing is not something that appeals to him because of what the addiction has done to his mind and then to his body. So it's a very, very scary thing. And here we're talking about, not even talking about the haram aspect, the issue of the sin that happens, subhanAllah, when you do that. I mean, all of us know that. It's something we're talking about from other aspects and the impact it has on you and on your marriage. I think that's something really to focus on, because this is what's happening in the households today, honestly.
Naam, and I just wanted to actually touch base upon it because obviously we cannot do justice to this topic in a few kind of minutes we have remaining. Now, Sheikh Khalad, coming to you, another issue which normally men, we can argue, have an incorrect understanding of is that they have an incorrect understanding of nushuz. And this is a pretty serious issue, especially in the Muslim lands where wife beating is kind of a habit. You know, Sheikh, what is your nasiha? What is your advice?
Well, nashiz has different meanings. The nashiz meaning not just like maybe disobedient to the husband, also to the, his family. And there are different aspects of it, inshallah. So we want to take it, don't want to take it out of context. But the way we behave towards it is, unfortunately, some of us, it's appalling. So the scholars say there are stages in order for you to get to the final stage. And that even that stage is a... is an option you don't have to take. It's not like mandatory. If you go through these options, that's number four. Well, you know what? I got to do this. And even if you get there, we are also restricted to do certain things. We use even miswak, and the miswak goes just a, it's such a kind of a metaphor. It's not an issue that you actually do so. So please understand, first of all, you know what? The ashiruhunna bil ma'roof. Did you do the ashiruhunna bil ma'roof first, like the Sheikh was talking about? Did you deal with them in kindness and righteousness? Did you look at yourself? Remember the sandwich theory. Remember the missing tiles theory. All of that stuff. Did you do everything? So, for example, in order for me to tell the brother, listen, you got there. How did you get there? Do you think your wife stood up, woke up in the morning, did her wird, did her qiyam, did her tahajjud, did her Quran, then the prayed fajr, and then you had her breakfast to get everything else, and all of a sudden, out of no reason, was disobedient to you? Absolutely nothing. You know, if it is to be, it's up to me. I tell the brothers all the time, listen, you knocked on the door of this girl and you chose this girl. She didn't come after you. Did you pick her on the floor? And the only thing that they remember is one, and I'm sure the mashayikh know what I'm talking about. So why did you pick this girl? Did she have the khuluq and deen? Did she have all of that stuff? Fadfar bidat al-deen taribat al-dak and all of that? The true winning and the ultimate is the religious background and the possession of the other talibat yadak, iltasaqa bit-turab, you will lose everything. Or if she has it, you will gain everything. So I tell the brothers, it was you that knocked on the door. You picked this girl. Did you go through istishara, istihara, azman, tawakkul? Did you go through the, you know, consulting? Did you do istihara? Did you do the determination? Did they follow that? Put my trust in Allah? Was it a reason that you acted? Do you know what kind? Did you do your homework? Did you go through the four steps, the 4x4? Did you know what kind of person you are? The three types of person that you have to. Are you a child? Are you a parent? Are you a mother? Are you an adult? Which one? Did you pick? Did you know anything about, and so on and so forth? Did you get married for the wrong reason? Did you get married for a piece of paper? Did you get married for... So I have to dig in order for me to heal the illness of that. So it says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَعِذُوهُنْ before the عَشُرْهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, deal with them in righteousness, because that's the reciprocating. And after that, he says, be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi'ala. Here's what the Quran states. Here's what the Prophet said. Let's go back and do this. And the third stage, it's not working yet. You go back and you get a person that the head of the family, the people that respect and word of wise them, the calm, cool, collective minds that will prevail. And one from her family, one from your family. Did they discuss? And on the fourth, you know what? This is the last. Before I divorce you, listen. Wake up. This is for real now. We're going to lose our kids. We're going to lose our lives. But remember, that fourth stage is, as I said before, it's an option you don't have to take. You cannot leave a mark. You cannot hit the face. You cannot do the same place twice. And. Then I raise the hand above the shoulder. Oh, there's so many restrictions. So Prophet Muhammad says, this person here, la khayra fi. This person is no good, this man here. He says he treats his wife like a beast in the morning and he wants to be intimate with her at night. So when I tell the brothers, listen, Sheikh, have you done like when we talk about, you know, how to treat your wife before? The prevention is better than cure. Look at the root cause analysis. I tell the brothers, when you say, you know, I love you, it doesn't have to necessarily say I love you. You know, if you're a practicing brother, I will tell you at least 5 times, even though statistics show that you need to hug a person 8 times a day, 8 times minimum. So I tell the brothers that 5 times, if you're a practicing brother, I tell you, you have to tell your wife, I love you. You can tell her I love you, but if you can, if you're the type of guy that you say I the way, if you're the type of guy that you can't say la 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 la, you do the la 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 thingy, then you have to give her a look, a hug, a kiss, a touch, a flower, breakfast in bed, a note on the fridge. Anything, ya ammi, anything. You understand? When we were talking about making love and all that stuff, do you think making love is when you get the night? Nice try, dude. No. وَقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُمْ. Do you know when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, proceed for thyself? Yes. Maybe I understand one of the narrations, is your children come with you and family to Jannah and all of that stuff. وَقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُمْ. It's also foreplay, man. Foreplay. Huge difference. And the foreplay starts at the beginning of the day, not at night. Yeah, which when you wake up in the morning. How many times that we did the terms of endearment? How many times did you text her, I'm thinking of you, and. All of that will not result to what you are. Because wallahi, if I know a brother that he beats his wife, wallahi. You know, if this happened to my daughter, his janazah is tomorrow. Because you think you're the man? You the man? Okay, well, bring it. Come. Wallahi, Sheikh, you're not a man. As I said, you're a male. You just have a penis between your legs. A man will never do that. Because wallahi, الذي لا إله إلا هو, it's a debt you have to repay. I tell the brothers, listen, could you imagine? Could you imagine your wife come to you one day? Says, honey, I have some good news. Doctor told me I'm pregnant. So you prostrate to thank Allah for the gift he's given you. You put your hand on her tummy and you feel a kick. You start listening. You start talking. You pick names, pick colors, you paint walls. Can hardly wait for that day to come, because that day will be called Abba. You never forget that day. And you never forget the day she actually calls you Abba. And you never forget the day she smiled in your face, made you forget the misery of the world. And you never forget the day she raised her hand to be carried by you. And you never forget the day she ate solid food for the first time. And you never forget the day she walked in her own feet the first time. And you'll never forget the day that she walked away from you to go to school for the first time. And you'll never forget the day somebody come up to your door, knock on your door, ask for a hand in marriage. This is how her father was giving you her hand. He trusted you. He trusted you. Could you imagine when a father says, I give you my daughter's hand in marriage, and he says, I accept marrying your daughter according to the book of Allah and the sunnah of Rasulullah and the bridal gift that was agreed upon. Khan al-amana. Wallahi, you betrayed the covenant. And that's why if you think you're the man, Allah says, taqu, come to me, my man. If you think, إِنْ غَرَّتْكَ قُدْرَتَكَ عَلَى النَّاسِ فَتَذَكَّرْ قُدْرَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ. You think you're so powerful? Remember the power of Allah over you. So if, can you imagine this girl that stole your heart? Can you imagine you hear somebody else doing that to her? How would you feel? Go ahead, champ, deal with that. So before you do anything, think twice, because it's a debt. Somebody will do that to your daughter. Somebody will do somebody from your loved ones. So four things you have to do before you even think about it. It's an option that you don't have to take. Allahu A'lam. God knows this.
Sheikh Abdul Rahim, you would like to add something, or shall we slightly digress from this kind of a serious?
I think Hamza, what was said was more than enough.
Do you mind if I have to?
Sheikh Allah, Jazakallah khair. Jazakallah
khair. Allah khair. Good to see you. Take care.
Yes, Sheikh
Abdul. Yeah. I think Sheikh Alaa, mashallah, he definitely highlighted enough when it comes to that issue, inshallah. If you want to move on, inshallah.
I think
what he said at the end, subhanAllah. And even to be honest with you, that I think a lot of times we talk about the issue, and you think that makes you a man. A lot of us talk about that aspect of it, but the aspect he mentioned about it coming back to your daughter, I think that's something really people would need to think about that, you know. And that's something that none of us would allow, you know. And I remember the only fight that I actually got into as a Muslim, I don't know if Cameron remembers or not, it was a bus driver when we were students in Medina. But he closed the door on my daughter's leg. And that's your daughter, you know. And I beat the dude down, man. That's your daughter. I mean, I beat him up pretty bad, man. I mean, it's a long story. I mean, he drove the bus, and she was getting pulled by the bus and things like that. And people were telling him to stop. He didn't stop. So he got a beat down for it. But the point was that's my daughter, you know? So, I mean, that sister that the brother's putting his hand on, that's also someone else's daughter. And that what Sheikh Ala mentioned about that coming back to your own daughter, I think that inshallah should make brothers think more. It doesn't make you a man. And then, you know, that's something that's, It's metaphorical. It's not, you know, and the condition that must be met and that you can't do when hitting a woman. It's and in the Prophet, he described the man as being the worst of them, the one who hits the women. So it's not something that, you know, that's something that as acceptable or makes you someone who's strong. And in fact, even, you know, the yelling or that shows that type of weakness. I mean, when you have to scream to get your point across, or you have to become violent to get your point across, that shows that that's actually a level of weakness. And the true strength is, you know, the Prophet said, the one who is the strong one is not the one who controls himself at the time of anger, not the one who can wrestle people down. I think, you know, inshallah, I mean, it's very beautiful, Shaykh Ali said.
Now, Shaykh Kamal, coming to you, inshallah. Now, another issue which we have kind of touched on it, but a lot of men, especially, you know, and I'm asking particularly you this question because, you know, especially in the subcontinent, in the Asian cultures, what we have is that we have a lot of men actually sitting like lame ducks at their houses and not working. And kind of, you know, waiting for kind of the wives to make the ends meet and asking them to work. And, you know, and we have this serious issue, especially in the Asian cultures. I'm sure it's there in the other cultures as well, but especially in the subcontinent, it's heavy there.
Yeah. And this even exists in the West, where we have, you know, government support, where, you know, a lot of men, they don't go to work and, you know, they sit at home getting employment insurance from the government, benefits, etc. So, you know, they neglect that. They're sitting at home being very lazy, and then they expect, their women and their wives to, you know, give their rights to them. And so, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like the people who are lazy, but rather those who are diligent and those who are, you know, hardworking.
No. Something very beautiful that was said by Umar al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, and that he used to dislike and yakra seeing someone who was not busy in bettering himself in the deen or bettering himself in the dunya. This is the way of the true believer, that we have to constantly better ourselves. And if a brother is taking support from the government, and I remember one of the things that we really faced as a community in Ireland that really made us look bad to the Irish society, meaning as the non-Muslims, how they looked at the Muslims. They looked at, I mean, but it's not just Muslims, to be fair. I mean, many of the people who are coming from, as they say, back home from the Eastern cultures who are migrating there, whether Muslim or non-Muslim, but I mean, a lot of them were Muslims who would take advantage of the system, who wouldn't work, who would get the benefits and just sit at home and chill out, make more babies. Each baby you get more money and things like that. And even I remember some of them, we would get benefits for the kids, and we would tell them, you know, put them in the Quran school, send them to martial arts, send them different things. They always said, we can't afford these things. So the government gives you 130 euros a month or 150 euros a month for each kid. So you can, this is what it's for, is for their betterment. But they would be taking that money to benefit from themselves. So that type of laziness, it gave a really negative impression of what Islam and Muslims, you know, are. Alhamdulillah, our brothers who are the doctors, many of the hospitals there, 60-70% of the doctors are actually Muslims, alhamdulillah. So that made us look good in a way, alhamdulillah. But many people are taking advantage of that system. So many, and this is something that's not acceptable in Islam. That's why Umar radiallahu anhu, he looked down upon the individual. Even he saw one man who was devoted to worship in the Masjid al-Haram in Mecca, and he asked him, you know, what do you do? He said, I'm just ibadah, I'm here worshiping. He said, okay, who takes care of you? He said, my brother. He said, your brother is better than you. Your brother is better than you. So this is the true believer is constantly trying to better himself. Alhamdulillah, now with the, and we talked about this, when we talked about isolation during the issue of the lockdown with COVID-19, that, you know, the stuff you can do online in deen and in dunya, in both aspects, you can constantly, alhamdulillah, be able to better yourself. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. That's how the believer needs to be. Even I remember one of my brothers, may Allah bless him, in Ireland. He was honest, though. He was looking for a job, not the one who was cheating the system. But he said, you know, he said, I can't find a job. And he was a teacher of the Quran, but he only memorized two juzus. But he said, I read the Quran all the time, alhamdulillah. So he said, why don't I at least, you know, because I have to be responsible to Allah for the money I'm taking from this government, even if it's a non-Muslim government. I had to better myself. He said, why don't I focus on memorizing the Quran? Well, alhamdulillah. In 7 months, he memorized the entire Quran, alhamdulillah. So at least alhamdulillah, someone benefited from his time and something and better himself. And he, in one aspect of the deen, alhamdulillah.
Naam, jazakumullah khair, Sheikh. Sheikh Abdul Rahim, now kind of the last question before we move on to the audience question and answers, inshallah. Now, I'm sure a number of brothers would like me to ask this question, so I would ask this, inshallah. Which is that, which is a problem as well as probably there needs to be some kind of an advice here, which is, in the Muslim lands, Yani, apart from the Arab lands, especially you're talking about subcontinent, India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, even I would say Malaysia, Indonesia, maybe even Turkey, you would know better. Now, this plural marriage, this is an issue which Yani is kind of almost dead. Yani, you won't see a lot of families, a lot of men having multiple wives, etc. Now, what is your kind of overall advice in this situation? I'm not asking a specific question because, again, this is a very vast topic. But is this a sunnah? Yani, there are other sunnahs which are out there which the men can practice. But, again, is this something which is you would feel is a requirement of the time now?
I wouldn't necessarily say it's a requirement, but it still is part of the deen. And some scholars see this being the asl, being the origin. And the ayah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to marry methna with thulatha wa ruba, two, three, or four. And then if you can't, for wahida, if you can't, then be adil or be just, then only one. So many of the scholars say that this is the origin for the Muslim man, is to have more than one. And the one who can't, the exception is the one who can't be just, then he only takes one. Whereas many people now, they say, the origin is one. And sometimes an exception to the rule is that you might have two, three, or four. And this is what I follow is what our Sheikh Mbaz, rahimahullah, I used to say that this is the alpha, this is the origin, is that it's two, three, or four is the origin of the man. And one scholar, I remember he did a research, he told me he had three. So he did the research and he said that from his research that every single sahabi from the Badriyun, and the Badriyun, the ones who attended the Battle of Badr, that he said every single one of them, 313 or whatever the exact number was, that all of them had more than one wife. So this was the origin of the way of the Sahaba, the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Obviously, when it comes to the law, each country is different, and you have to take that into account and be careful in the country that you live in. But it is something that has many benefits. In fact, to be honest, we've seen that a lot of the marital problems that occur in a marriage, sometimes from the first marriage, are fixed sometimes when the husband gets remarried. I know the sisters don't want to hear that, And then some brothers come to us like, wow, the relationship with my first wife has become much better. And this is, once again, it comes from both sides of the marriage. What happens, for example, some of our sisters who are a bit negligent with themselves, once he gets married again, she becomes Bismillah, mashallah. But at the same time, sometimes we think as brothers that the grass is going to be greener on the other side. But sometimes when brothers get married again, they realize how beautiful their first wife is and how much they love her. And they actually sometimes, you find a lot of times, actually in many aspects, more attached to the first wife than the second wife. So actually, a lot of times, brings the relationship stronger. So we don't always think that it's something that's something that's that just comes with evil. So sometimes it does come with a lot of good. But it is a responsibility. It's something it's something that's not easy, and it's not something that every man can do. So each person needs to know, what are my capabilities? Just because it's a sunnah, just because the facts that I mentioned, even if we take this view that it is the origin, not every man can do it. And you have to be able to know who you are, and because it's not easy. If the best of women, the ummahat al-mu'mineen, the wives of the Prophet, if they became jealous, and it was difficult for them to handle, so what are we going to think about our sisters? And jealousy can lead to a lot of bad things, that happen sometimes. And a lot of times in the beginning as well, there can be a lot of turbulence. A lot of times, some of our sisters, they freak out, they go crazy, they do things that you never thought they could do, even religious sisters. But then eventually, a lot of them, alhamdulillah, we've seen that they come back to their senses and realize, it's not worth destroying my marriage, any having my children be somewhere else. But in the beginning, some things have to happen. So not all men are going to be able to handle that turbulence that comes in the beginning. So it is difficult. And I remember the same scholar who told me about this research that he did about the Sahaba from Badr. He said, because a lot of people, they look at it as just the intimate side, you know, that a man gets married for this and that's what he's benefiting is intimate side. But all the responsibilities that we mentioned in the beginning, all of them come with each one of them now. So he gave a beautiful example. And I mean, I can't pick up the table that I have now. It's a small one in front of me. But it's, you know, like the small tables that we have or the small tables we have at the school. He gave the example with that. He said, you can imagine if you come and you put that on top of your head, like a small table like this, right? And you hold it for some time. Eventually, you're going to start getting sore on your shoulder. That's just one table. He said, imagine now if you come and you put a second table on top of that. And then you put a third table on top of these. And you're trying to balance that. He said, this is the reality of what it is. So it's not just that, you know, at nighttime, mashallah, you're the king and it's going to be. There's responsibility that comes with that. And not every man has the ability to handle that. But like we said, there are many benefits for in society. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what we have to remember, and this is for the brothers and for the sisters, and that Allah is al-Hakim. From the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is al-Hakim, the all-wise subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when he made part of his Sharia, that the permissibility for the man to have more than one wife, there's hikmah in it. And we can mention many of the benefits. And I think most people know them, but like many of our sisters, they don't want to, you know, talk about those things. You know, just like when we go back to the question earlier about doing the chores in the household for the brothers. We know that soon, but we kind of want to let that be on the side. So if you would ask a sister now, she could tell you the hikmah is the benefit for the society, for this and this. You'll find. And then you see the way of the Sahaba. If a sister, a Sahabiyah, if her husband was killed in battle, right away they would step in. And after that, to marry her, to take care of her, to take care of her children as well. So you see many of the benefits that come from that. Like I said, it's not for everyone, but it is something that can, you know, fill a big void, alhamdulillah, and a lot of the problems that we're having in society. And whenever we drift away from the sunnah of our beloved Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in all aspects, whether it be a major sunnah or a small sunnah, it's going to have ill effects and have negative effects on the ummah.
Jazakumullah khair, Shaykh. Inshallah, now we'll start to take the questions from the audience. So, Brother Kamil, the first question you can see on the screen now.
What if the husband's attitude towards religion is non-serious type while the wife's life completely revolves around Islam? So in that case, she always guides her husband to do the same. So I don't know, like, what the question...
Yeah, the questioner is asking that what should the husband... Yani, I think husband is kind of... there's a second part to this as well. It's a very long-winded thing. You can have a look at this one as well. But what if the husband gets irritated by the behavior and wants to live his life freely, and a dispute over this happens all the time? What do you suggest for both husband and wife in this scenario?
Yeah, obviously, if the sister is more practicing the deen, and this is actually very common. What happens is many times one of the two will start practicing later on in the marriage. And usually it's the sister. And we've seen this a lot of times. And it does lead to problems, but the sister needs to have patience with that. She needs to realize that, she needs to be very, very patient. And, he will be behind you. He'll be lagging behind. But if you remain with him, then, you know, and put your trust in Allah and work towards, getting him to your level, then inshallah, if you do that, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be there for you. And we've seen that in many cases where eventually the man ends up catching up. You know, he ends up catching up. You know, many times, the man was not praying. And then, later on, many, many years later, he starts praying because of his wife. So, it requires a lot of patience from the sister's side.
JazakAllah khair. Sheikh Abdul Rahim, the next question is for you. This is the question.
What if a husband does not give time and does not communicate properly? And this is a major problem. That's one of the, you know, the things that I think, you know, the Sheikh Ala mentioned. Why not take a course? I have a course that I give about that. And it's for the people who are just getting married, but also for the people who are married as well, to kind of try to fix some of the problems that they have. The issue of communication, and what was the other part of the question she mentioned, if you can put it back up? The issue of the communication. And spending time, okay. So
spending time.
And it doesn't give time and it doesn't communicate properly. So these are two major issues. I think it's very, it might even be more common maybe in some of the Muslim countries. I know in some of the Gulf countries, for example, where I lived a long time, the men are like basically never even in the house, subhanAllah. You'll find that they're always out with their friends, you know, always hanging out. And then they say they don't have time. So when you look in the Sunnah of our beloved Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and when Salman, radiallahu anhu, came to spend the night with Abu Darda, radiallahu anhu, and he noticed that his wife wasn't taking care of herself. So he asked, what's wrong? He said, your friend has no interest. He's not interested in women. He's just all ibadah, you know, 110% ibadah. So when he came time, he went to pray during the night. First of all, he was fasting. He made him eat with him. And when he came to want to pray during the night prayer, he made him sleep and then pray later. And then he said something very, very profound. And this is how we need to focus as Muslims, how we divide our time. He said, "Inna li rabbika alayka haqq," that your Lord has a haqq, has a right upon you. Wa li nafsika alayka haqq, and you have a right upon yourself. Wa li ahlika alayka haqq, and your family has a right upon you. Fa'ati kulli dhi haqqan haqqahu. So give every single one its due right. You give Allah his right, you give yourself your right, take care of yourself, you have your free time, and at the same time you have time for your family as well. Very beautiful. I wrote down any. And we benefit from one another, alhamdulillah. I wrote down some of the benefits that benefit from Sheikh Ala. You know, the M-Y-O-F, you know, that's a good one, alhamdulillah. And we actually, you know, divide the time like that with our family. That's very, very beautiful. So you have to give each one their right. That's their haqq, that's their right Islamically. When it comes to the issue of the communication, this is a big problem that all of us face. And sometimes, I think one of the problems that comes to that, and I benefited when I was studying with the brother this, is knowing the nature. What is my personality? You know, you have the different, like the disc thing where, you know, am I dominant? Am I this? And so sometimes the problem is that we don't understand the nature of one another. So it's very important to understand the nature of our spouse. And the problem is that sometimes even we deal with some families, they understand the nature, but they don't respect the nature. And this is a big problem. Sheikh Ala mentioned something brilliant. When the man comes home from work, he doesn't want to hear the problems. Give him his little downtime. Give him his little lazy time. And then come at a time. But there has to be a time where you let your wife know this is a good time to communicate. A lot of times the sisters say that the husband doesn't communicate properly. And that a lot of times is because you don't choose the good time. You don't choose the proper time. So you have to choose when is the good time for us to talk. But when you give them that time, brother, then you have to fulfill that. Then you have to make sure that you listen and you communicate during those times. So it's something you have to sit down. You have to, sometimes, we literally have to go old school. We sit down with the pad and the pen and we write it down. When is the good time? You know, when I'm coming home, I'm tired from it's not a good time to talk to me. Then we're not going to talk at this time. Even we have the other agreements. It has to be that this is our agreement and we don't go out on it. And but a good time for me is, you know, after I've relaxed, when I come from work, I've had my dinner, we've sat down, I've had my cup of tea. This is a good time, for example. But this, once you give him the good time, bro, then you have to fulfill that. When it comes time, she wants to communicate. Now it's time to communicate. And the sisters, and sometimes we don't want to. I know sometimes sisters like to go into a lot of detail, a lot of this. And men in general don't like too much detail. Once they get the picture, you know. So it's give and take.
This is exactly the next question which is coming.
Allah Akbar. We understand the nature of one another, subhanAllah. Allah
exactly. Allah. So I'll request Sheikh Kamil, actually. This is exactly what the next question is.
So I think the best advice that we could give is to be patient. Many times you have to listen to her. You know, yes, she'll go on for an hour, but you can't ignore her either, because you know, she wants you to listen to her. She that's her nature, to be like that. And so, to be patient with it, and also to advise her, I've got your point. Now we can move on, kind of thing.
Sheikh Abdul Rahim, now this is a very important question which is now coming up, especially in the country which you're living in. There is currently a play from that country which is being aired in some Muslim lands specifically. But this is kind of a generic, I think. Yeah.
Actually, the crazy thing is I actually made a video about this for my YouTube channel. I started preparing. I gathered up all the things I'm going to talk about, but I haven't actually made it yet. But maybe it's encouraged me to remind me to actually do it. This film, and he's asking about like Ortuğrul, anyway, you can see any. There's a lot of good in the film. There's a lot of things which aren't correct. There are some things, dramatic Sufi things, even Arabi, who was a very he's a figure, obviously they shouldn't have put in because he never met Ortuğrul anyways. A very controversial figure. And perhaps the producer, I think during the later series, he might have realized that, you know, because in the later part of the series, he ended up not showing up anymore. Where in the beginning, that whenever he was in trouble, he would think, and then you know, he would appear and he would then almost like Astaghfirullah save him, you know, from the situation that he was in. So then, I mean, there is a lot of good. At the same time, it brought a type of izzah and honor back to the ummah, where, you know, seeing some of our heroes. And I think that there does need to be, and where the scholars, this is not something I'm going to give a fetch one here now, but I think the scholars do need to look at the issue of, because if you look at the impact this film has had on the Muslims around the world, it's very huge. So I mean, it had a good impact on many of the Muslims in bringing them back to their deen and seeing that we do have heroes. But the problem is we don't know our history. And when it comes to the issue of media, we don't have, you know, proper halal alternatives. Whether you're starting from the lowest level for the cartoons for the kids. You know, I talk to many, many people about this who have money, who have TV channels, but they never focus on doing these things. But this series shows us the impact that it could have. So you have to try to, we need to get where we can have these certain things which are haram to be able to what? To take them out at that. Because these films have a huge impact on the people. But even if you look at the amount of time that people spend on these films, it's a huge amount of time. And you have to see that, and you're going to be asked about that, Yawm al-Qiyamah, is this something that truly comes back with benefit? So I think we need to produce more high quality films, which will be closer to being halal alternatives, even historical documentaries, for us to know our Muslim heroes. Like when I did a video, you can check it on my YouTube channel, the Muslim commander who went 50-0 on the battlefield. And I said in the beginning of the video, we all know, Floyd Money Mayweather, who went 50-0 in boxing, never defeated. What about the Muslim commander who went 50-0 on the battlefield? And I said, wallahi, most of them never even heard of us. And I have to be honest, when I received a video about him, I never heard about him myself. So this is something that, that needs to be looked into, getting that history out there, letting us know that we have heroes. And I have a khutbah I gave as well about Muslims knowing their history on a few YouTube channels. Actually, I think I forgot to put it on my own YouTube channel. So maybe upload it maybe later on tonight. But the importance of Muslims knowing history. And you'll see that we have so much in our history of true Muslim heroes. But unfortunately, we haven't had someone who's put it out there for the ummah. So, I mean, this was a try in the film to put it out there. We have to be, I think, just in saying there was a lot of good, a lot of things that were taught to the ummah, but there are some, a lot of things that go against the Sharia in it as well. And, I think more so than just the music and the women, I didn't mention that because the issue sometimes of the, the issue, even Arabi and other things that were there were actually worse than that. Allah mustaq.
Khair, inshallah. Jazakallah khair, Sheikh. Second last question, inshallah, before we have kind of 6 minutes to go. So this is the question for you, Sheikh Kamil. I think this has been covered to an extent, But I think, but the brother is looking for some kind of practical advice, I think. Maybe he's shy, or I don't know. Yanni, how would you?
Yeah, it's like what was already discussed. Yes, especially coming from certain cultures, the Pakistani culture or any other, it's looked down upon to help the wife, you know, with the household chores. It's looked down upon, and you know, if a man, you know, understands that this is a sunnah and he wants to do it, he'll be hesitant because of that culture that he comes from. And so, just like with anything else that our deen teaches, you know, there's no shyness in it. We should not be shy. We should not be hesitant. But rather, if we're determined that, okay, you know, this is something pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and, you know, it's from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I'll be rewarded for it, then, you know, that will make the hesitation to go away, inshallah. And, you know, obviously, you're not going to start, you know, doing everything in one go, but rather, the advice I would give is to start gradually, step by step, do something small, and then, you know, gradually build yourself. Wallahu a'lam.
And Sheikh, the last question again. I think Sheikh Allah has explained this in a beautiful way, but maybe the reminder benefits the believer. So if you can just do a summarized answer of some of the tips again for the brothers, inshallah.
That is very beautiful, Sheikh Ala said, and I think we don't need really to add too much to it. I mean, just as a reminder, I mean, the issue, I actually wrote it down, 8 hugs a day. I wrote that down. It was pretty good, mashallah. I mean, alhamdulillah. Yeah, really make sure do I get my 8 in, you know, at least say 5 times, I love you. And subhanAllah, it's very strange for us coming from the West, where, you know, it's something very normal for us to say, you know, to our spouse, you know, I love you, or even to our children, where there's actually a video on YouTube where they did it in Arab, I believe it was in the UAE, where they had the kids, you know, from, I think, like, you know, maybe like fifth grade, fourth grade, young kids, where they sent messages to their father, you know, saying, I love you. And they're like, you know, what's wrong? What's happening? You know, and I remember even some coaches, our brothers also in Saudi and others, when they did this in their courses, they had them, you know, send I love you to their wives. And, you know, so when they got it from their kids, the brothers, they were like, you know, what's wrong? Why would you tell me this? And when the wives received it from their husband, they were like, what's wrong? You know, are you sick? Is something wrong? You know, something going to happen to you, or you're dying, or something like that? Because they're just so shocked to hear it, subhanAllah. Whereas it has a huge impact, you know, on the family. Even there's some studies proven that the marriages that last longer when the husband kisses his wife upon entering the house, and leaving the house as well. And you can even find this in the sunnah of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But this is something, you know, to show that affection. And also what Sheikh Ala mentioned was very beautiful, is that, you know, it starts from the daytime. A lot of times we look at the intimacy, and think about what's going to the night part of it. But for a woman, it's actually a work. Men were different. You know? And I think this is so profound for us to understand any marriage is going to be successful. You have to understand the differences between men and women. There's differences. We're not the same. We're equal in many aspects, yes. But we have to understand the nature of men is not the nature of women. And there's many good videos on YouTube, non-Muslims, who talk about this. You know, and you can see even a study, perhaps, where you've seen about the difference in the brain between the men and the women. Which then, obviously, the feminists don't want to hear about that. But even our brains function differently. We're different. I mean, that doesn't mean women are less than men. And men are, we all, alhamdulillah, and equal in many things. And men are better than women in certain aspects. And women are better than men in certain aspects. So alhamdulillah, but we have to understand that the nature of one another. Women, they need that. So for them, it starts in the day. So if you want, you know, excitement in the nighttime, actually, it starts in the daytime. So that's, it's kind of a buildup and a workup for her. You know, showing the affection, showing the love, the nice word, maybe a kiss here, a kiss there. Hug there, and that works up to make it even something better for both of you when it comes to the intimacy side, you know, during the nighttime or even during the day, whatever it might be. But it's a build up,
especially nowadays.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. Yeah, in the lockdown, I think. Yeah,
alhamdulillah. Okay, Jazakumullah khair once again, Sheikh Abdul Rahim. We love you for the sake of Allah, Sheikh Kamil. Same to you. May Allah reward you again. I think very well received session. Alhamdulillah, Sheikh Ala obviously made it as well, and we thank him as well. So inshallah, I hope once again, brothers, specifically, this session has been beneficial for all of you. The last session, which is going to be next week, is going to be with Dr. Muhammad Salah, inshallah, and Sheikh Aisha Wazbaz. And that particular question is going to be heavy on Q&A. So the request is going to be, whatever questions you have, we have our email, which is sun.night.raw@gmail.com, which you're aware of. Send your questions. We'll like to send the questions to the panel beforehand, because we have already received certain questions which are difficult, which are with regards to, for example, you know, divorce-related questions, which the scholars even need time to kind of sometimes go through. So please send your questions again in advance, inshallah. Next week, same time, with inshallah, with the scholars, we'll be rejoining on the same subject once again, inshallah. So we thank all of you once again, Sheikh Abdul Rahim, Sheikh Kamil, and the audience from Live Deen and IYCI. Jazakumullah khair. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakumullah khair. Jazakumullah khair.